Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Do you like what you're hearing right now? Then be sure to check out VOC Nation. Whether it's on VOCNation.com or your favorite podcast provider, VOC Nation offers the greatest in live and on-demand content, great interviews, and incredible insight from those who have lived the business. 7 days a week, VOCNation.com. And don't forget to check us out on Twitter at VOC Nation.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Rock and Roll Union Streamcast. My name is CT. As always, very excited to be here under the VOC Nation umbrella now, and really excited to welcome all you guys into the fold as well. Have a great show for you this evening. We're going to be joined by a group out of New York, AC/DC tribute group, goes by the name of Bonfire, and then we're also going to be joined by... Bear with me. I just want to make sure I pronounce this gentleman's name the right way. And that is Ralph Klein. I'm hoping I'm pronouncing his name correctly. It spells R-A-F-E. He'll be along in a little while. Both fantastic musicians from various parts of the country. And that is what our goal here is going to be for you guys, just to bring you the best of rock music from around the country, around the world. We've been doing this now, if you guys don't know us, under VOC Nation. We are all about the rock music. We've been in the local scene now going on for 6 years. We started with VOC Nation way back in 2018. We had our podcast under the VOC Nation umbrella for about 3 years. A lot of episodes. You can go back. I'm sure... there is a way of going back and researching some of those old episodes, but very glad to be here. Very excited. Just waiting to see if this, waiting on our host, Yeah, that's me. Waiting on our guest. Bear with me for 1 second, guys. So just a lot of stuff going on, guys. If you don't know me, I am also on the Landis Live Atlantis Theater podcast. Really excited about that show. A lot of great stuff going on that. You can catch us there at Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. But it is my pleasure now. And, sir, I apologize if I'm butchering your name, but is it Raph?
It's Rafe? Yeah, Rafe Klein. Hang on one
second. Rafe. All right, Rafe Klein. So, Rafe, big shout out to Christina Avila for helping me set this up. We go back a ways with Christina. Really cool person. Really works hard at doing what she does. But, Rafe, if you could give our viewers a little bit of background information on what you done musically, how you came into doing what you do, and how long you've been doing what you do.
I think it kind of started in the studio. I've been working in the studio at Vic Steffens in West Haven, and that's where I got together with Bobby T, Scott Spray, and Ron Rifkin, and we continued with a band that was happening for, you know, 30-40 years, Charlie Karp and the Name Droppers. And when Charlie passed away, we kept it going.
That's awesome. I've seen some of the videos that Christina sent over to me, and they were fantastic, man. I just got to say, cool. So much talent in your band.
Yeah. So I was going to say, I'm really lucky to be.
Go ahead, Rafe. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, you're right. I'm very lucky to be surrounded with such talent. For sure. Very lucky.
Man,
very talented band.
As far as shows, how often do you guys perform?
Not that often. We're more of a studio band. But you know, we probably play 8 to 10 times a year.
Gotcha. Man, and is there a difference that you guys see as far as, I mean, I'm sure you've been in the business for a long time, but as far as the market where you guys are located, you guys are located where again?
We record in West Haven, Connecticut. So we're a Southern Connecticut band, Fairfield, West Haven, Milford area.
Gotcha. Now, how is the local scene up there? Like, I always love to talk to other people from outside the area and see like how the scene is elsewhere. How is it over there?
Oh, it's a great scene. We have a lot of musicians, a lot of talent. So when we need certain musicians, if we need an additional musician in the studio, there are a lot. There are a lot of them available. I don't know if it's just because we're connected to the studio, or there just is a lot of musicians around here, but there's a lot of horn players, a lot of great guitar players, of vocalists. So I would say that it's a great community here. Where are you?
I'm in Southern Jersey, so you're in pretty Jersey. Close to the Delaware line.
I got you. Yep. Okay. Yeah, I'm not really sure what it's like in other communities, but here there are a lot of musicians, and a lot of them are available for sessions.
That's awesome.
And if you need them, you know, on a gig. But there's a really good, close, tight-knit musical community here.
Yeah, for this area, it kind of feels like it's a lot of cover bands, a lot of tribute bands. Originals are a lot harder of a nut to crack.
Yeah, that's very common too. I'm seeing that everywhere I go, and seeing that here. People appreciate the music. It brings them back to a certain time, and they want to hear, you know, Aerosmith. They want to hear those songs just the way they did it. And that's a big thing. And I would say, yeah, you probably see more of the tribute bands, or I don't know if you want to, traditional cover bands, then bands that do original music. I think that's true here too.
Gotcha. Now, as far as you guys are, you said predominantly a studio outfit, but how many albums, how much music do you guys have out there, and how can people go about accessing that?
Well, we released 3 albums so far since 2020. The first album is called Name Droppers, and it's you can get it any way you would stream your music, YouTube, Spotify, however you listen to it. The second album was released in 2022, called Name Droppers 2. The second album. And that's, you can find that online. You can stream that. And we have some videos from that album as well. And the most recent was a record that came out in August, just August of 2023, called Blue Diamonds. And that was our third release. And that album still is getting a lot of attention, not just in the United States, but this morning it was in France, and a lot of overseas radio playlists, blues playlists. This final last record that we did is more focused on blues than anything else. It leans more blues than rock. And so we're fortunate enough to have it played on lots of different blues stations and blues playlists or internet radio stations in the United States and also in Europe.
You know, I wanted to, my plan was to show there. I had a live video that Christina had sent me over at Blue Diamonds. And what really affected me with that video is you had said that it was about OxyContin and the struggle with that. And I lost a good friend of mine to that. I lost two brothers to opioids. So I was like right there with what you guys were talking about. And man, blew my mind.
Oh, well, first of all, I'm really sorry that you had not just one, but two deaths in your family. That's may your brothers rest in peace. OxyContin and fentanyl and overdoses, very common in this area in Connecticut as well. And so we wanted to write something to sort of talk a little bit about that. We had some friends that had recently passed away. The song kind of came about in a way where Bobby and I were both sort of in a dark place, nothing to do with us particularly. We've been there. Both of us have been there and we still can relate to it. That's where that song came about and sort of a tribute to people that may have lost some friends or loved ones or anybody that they may have known, they may have lost to opiate addiction. It's a struggle.
Man, it's so crazy. Like to me, I was reading an article the other day that they said there's something out there now that's like 48 times stronger than fentanyl. And it was like mind blowing to me.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems like we're always finding out that there's something. Well, forget about that. This is way more powerful than this. And so, you know, kids have to be careful. I've got two young kids that are just getting into high school. And so it's concerning.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'll tell you the kids today have a lot more to deal with than what we did coming up.
Right. Yep. A post-pandemic world.
Craziness. And so how did you guys end up getting together? I mean, you said that you guys started out pretty much in 2020. So that's like the prime COVID era. How did you guys end up getting together and keeping this legacy going on?
It was in the studio. A lot of it was in the studio. I was working together with Charlie Karp. If you don't know Charlie's history, he was the founder of the Name Droppers back in the 80s. But he got recruited out of high school, Staples High School in Westport, Connecticut in 1970 by Buddy Miles. Buddy Miles had came to town. Buddy Miles was Jimi Hendrix's drummer. And they just had the band of Gypsies right around that time. And Buddy was starting his new band, his own band called the Buddy Miles Express. So to make a long story short, he was performing at a high school in Westport, Connecticut, and they were the opening act. They were the band that actually played with Buddy for that concert. And Buddy was blown away. And wow. Next thing you know, he said, I want you to quit college and quit high school. It wasn't even college. Quit high school and come on the road with us. And he did. And he recorded four albums with Buddy Miles. One was Them Changes. You know that song? Well, my mind is going through them changes. Yeah, on that. And so, you know, they were on, they were playing, opening up for Jimi Hendrix in L.A. And this was a kid right out of high school. So that was his story. And then later on, they came back to Connecticut and they had formed other bands. And I met him in 2009, and he became my guitar teacher, my mentor. I wasn't really a full-time musician. I wasn't a musician. And we became friends, and he encouraged me to write, and I started writing songs with Charlie, and we started putting some music out. And that's when we met Vic and some of the other guys from the studio. And in 2019, just as we were putting out an album for Charlie, he got diagnosed. Well, it wasn't really a diagnosis. He went into the hospital and he died. He had cancer. He had liver cancer. Nobody knew that he had liver cancer. He never came out of the hospital. And so we had this album coming out. So we put the album out. And luckily for me, the guys in the band were willing to keep it going. Charlie was the lead guitar player. He was the lead singer. And I was just sort of a side guy playing rhythm. So we weren't sure how to do it, but they kind of stuck with me, and we started playing and recording, and I got better. I started to learn how to play up to those guys, and we got better as a band, and we became a unit. And a lot of it had to do with just being in the studio and recording, and then taking those songs and playing them out, trying them out. And then, you know, doing some of these gigs, and then we started releasing music, and then you saw some of those videos.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Wow. Yeah, now, like, when you first fell in love with music, who spun your wheels for you? Who did it for you when you first, as a kid, who did you first look up to?
Probably Bob Dylan. He was a huge inspiration on me. And Bob Dylan, and then I got into the band, Bob Dylan and the band, and I got into their music. And that was probably, I started reading a lot of books on Bob Dylan, and that was probably one of my first inspirations.
It's incredible that he's still out there doing it.
Yeah, he is. He doesn't really have much anything else going on, as far as I could see. That's just what he does. I don't even think he's married. I don't know if he has a good relationship with his. I don't know what he does. He's just been on this tour since the 80s, right? Constantly going.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, it's a totally different thing. If you want to go see Bob Dylan, don't expect to go hear Mr. Tambourine Man. You're going to hear something totally different. You probably won't like it. You won't like his voice. But it's, you know, you go to see a modern Dylan show, that's what it is. But I fell in love with his music and his story.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the greatest songwriters that's ever lived.
Absolutely. One of the best.
So I know we're just 3 days in. What does 2023 look like for the name droppers so far?
2024. See, that's how close.
You're right. I'm still saying 2023.
You're still saying 2023. Well, I could tell you that we've been in the studio, and we're going to be released at some point soon. We're almost done, believe it or not, with a new album that we're going to release in mid-2024. Right. But before that, we've got some shows coming up, some shows in New Haven, and we're going to play some shows and have some performances. And we hope that we could release an album. Most likely, we will release an album in 2024.
Awesome. Awesome. Is there any hope of any idea what a release date looks like for that?
Probably June or July. That's what we have penciled in with the radio people. But again, it's just a pencil. But if I had to guess, I would say June or July, we would release the album.
Nice. Now, as far as being in the studio and being predominantly studio musicians, do you guys do anything as far as licensing your music out or selling it to different avenues? There's so many different ways to do music now. It's incredible.
No one's ever approached me to license any of our music. So I can't say that's happened.
Would you guys be open to that if that was a possibility come up in the future?
Sure. I mean, I wouldn't see anybody that would have an interest in licensing. I mean, if we do a cover, we license a Beatles song or something like that if we're going to do that.
Right, right.
I don't see that, I don't see people wanting to do that. But if they wanted to do it, they would just like we would license, an artist. We register all our music with BMI. So if they certainly out there and they could cover it or whatever, somebody wanted to, that would be pretty cool actually. But I don't see it.
My last question for you, Rafe, is favorite places to play. What are some of the your favorite venues?
One of the favorite places that I love to play is the Bitter End, which is located on Bleecker Street in New York City's Greenwich Village. And we've played there a number of times, played there with Carol Sylvan, when we do Carol Sylvan and the Name Dropper, which is a great soul singer from Queens. And it's not the biggest place, but it's well known. One of the reasons I like it is because I was just telling you before, I used to read a lot of stuff about Bob Dylan, study Bob Dylan. And every book, every time I read something or talked or heard a story, the Bitter End would come up. Bob would play there all the time. So for me to go and play there and see pictures of Bob on the wall and Joni Mitchell posters in the back, it's one of my favorite places to play, for sure.
Man, yeah, I definitely have to check that place out. I've been to New York. It's funny, as a Jersey guy, I've been to New York once. I got to get out there more often.
Oh yeah, you got to get up there. Yeah, I would say down there, but you got to get up there, right?
Yeah. So next gig coming up is when?
There's two projects. The next gig that we have coming up for Bobby T and the Name Droppers is going to be a show at another place, one of my favorite places to play. It's not as well known, but in Connecticut, it's very well known. It's called Cafe 9, and it's been around for, I don't know, 50 years or so. And that's in New Haven. And we're going to be playing there Saturday, February 10th.
Nice. Now, are there tickets? Is this a ticketed show? Is this something that people can go about buying tickets for?
It is. It's you can go to the website, which is the Cafe 9 website. I think it's cafe9.com. N-I-N-E. And there's a ticket link, and you can pre-order tickets. Or the old-fashioned way, you can go there and get tickets at the door. But the place fills up, so we would recommend getting tickets because it gets crowded there.
Awesome. Well, Rafe, thank you so much for taking some time to hang out with me tonight. Best of luck to you, brother. Please keep in touch.
Thank you. I really appreciate you having me as a guest on your show. And thank you for your love of music and for what you're doing and helping guys like me and bands like Bobby T and the Name Droppers get to drop our name. Yeah. So thank you. If anybody wants, you can go to our website, which is www.thenamedroppers.net, and you can get information on the shows and anything else. Well, thank you, my friend.
Thank you,
Christina.
Thank you so much
for watching. Thank you. I'd like to thank Christina for setting this whole thing up. Christina Avila, she's been a tremendous supporter of our shows and our music and our cause. So if it weren't for people like her and people like you, it wouldn't be as easy for us to get the word out. So we appreciate that.
Glad to do it, brother. Have a great rest of your evening, my friend.
Thank you. You too. Take care.
See you. So there was Rafe Klein, man, Bobby T and the Name Droppers. Make sure that you guys check them out and all the good stuff that they have in store, man. I really need to, I'm not sure, you know, I had this problem with the Landis Theater podcast. They have changed internet providers. I have Xfinity, Comcast. And for some reason, I've had issues with internet speed. So if we're lagging a little bit, my apologies. But really, really great to have you here with us this evening, guys. We're going to be joined momentarily by an AC/DC tribute. I kind of had the times shift a little bit. Another great Christina Avila band artist that she works with. She is a phenomenal promoter. If you are looking for any form of music, make sure you reach out to her. Taking a look at the schedule coming up, guys, we have, let me bring up my calendar here. Next week, we have Bob Mitchell and Tito Puente. If you guys are familiar with Latin music at all, we have Tito Puente, who is going to be a phenomenal musician to speak with because he is a junior. His father was very well known, very famous musician in Mexico. Looking forward to talking with him. Love that Latin drum set, man. You got to love those Latin drums. And then the week after that, we're going to be doing a roundtable. So for those watching this show for the first time, you guys don't know as much about this show as maybe some other people who have watched. And what we usually do is we'll go out and we will bring in, just like we did with Rafe, we'll bring in lesser known musicians and beef them up and give them a chance to let their music be heard out there. With that being said, we wanted to change it up a little bit based on what we've done. This is now in February going on 6 years. So for our 6 year, we're going to shuffle around a little bit. That being said, January 17th, I believe. I just want to bring that calendar up just to make sure that I have the right date. January 17th, we're going to have a roundtable on tribute bands. We're going to have Ray Mamrak, the owner of the Landis Theater. If anybody knows anything about tribute bands, it's that guy. They must have at least 20, 30 tribute acts a year come through that place. So he really knows what he's talking about. We're going to be talking with a guy named Steve Desco from the Land of Oz. He is an Aussie. He is the South Jersey Aussie. If you've never met this guy, never seen this guy in person, he is the guy to check out. Really, really does well with his craft. So we're going to have him on board as well. Probably Ira Fleischer, who is the drummer to Loungefly, Stone Temple Pilots tribute. And we're going to be talking about the positives, negatives. We're going to be talking all about the ins and outs of tribute bands. I am really blessed and excited and happy to start 2024 with VOC Nation, man. I go way back with Brady, man. This is, like I said, February will be 6 years that we've been doing what we were doing. And we started off on VOC Nation, so I'm excited to be here. Make sure you guys check out all the really cool shows that are part of VOC Nation. The main show that I know personally because I listen to it every week is In the Room. Listen to that show, but there is a lot of other shows. If you're a pro wrestling fan, I suggest. And I'm a very big pro wrestling fan, but I'm proud to be the only rock show that is on this network. So really, really looking forward to that, guys. The comment sections are always on. Brady, rock on, my brother. And really, really looking forward to seeing what the future holds. I'm going to be working, like I said, with this internet. The internet speeds are what they are. I know working with the Landis podcast that they've had to change internet providers just based on the quality of internet. If you guys have anything you want to add to that, feel free. If I'm lagging and you want to let me know, feel free on that as well. I have a cat here who will not leave me alone as we wait on our next guest. Really looking forward to speaking with Donnie. Donnie plays Angus in the New York tribute band to AC/DC called Bonfire. I'm not sure if you guys know, Bonfire was a box set that came out of AC/DC. It was all the stuff from Bon Scott. But Bonfire, the tribute band, covers both eras of AC/DC. They cover Angus. Well, of course, they cover Angus. Angus was there for the whole thing. But they cover Brian Johnson, and they cover Bon Scott as well. So a lot of great stuff. Trying to think, like I said, if you have yet to check out the Landis podcast, make sure you do so. We're on there Tuesday nights on the Landis Theater website. They have a great show coming up this week, which is Rail of Genesis. It's a tribute to Genesis, Peter Gabriel, era Genesis. We did a show with them last night, a podcast with them. They're great guys to talk to. But I try to bring things even further outside of Landis Theater by being on VOC Nation, doing my show, doing what we do here. And we cover it all, man. We go from tributes to original acts to we have some great trap rockers coming up, man. Guy that I'm very excited to speak to will be with us within a few short weeks, that being Jesse Rice. If you guys are big into trap rock, if you like Jimmy Buffett music at all, if you like summertime music, I suggest Jesse Rice, man. Jesse is such a great dude. He wrote the song Drive, which was the Grammy Award winning song from wanted to say Rascal Flatts. I'm glad I cut my tongue on that, but Florida Georgia Line song Drive, he wrote that. And what's great with the trap rock scene is you don't have to pay a lot of money to go to a big venue. They play people's backyards, and you can come and speak with the musicians and speak with the artists and hang with the fans. And most of the time it costs you $20 at the most. So just trying to see what we're doing here. And like I said, within a moment's time, we'll be getting joined by Donnie. I want to make sure I'm pronouncing his name right, too, because I don't want to say Danny Bonaducci, but his name is so close. It's Donnie Bonaducci, something in the Donnie Bonaducchio. So real close, Donnie Bonaducci. Bonaducchio. So just waiting for him to be joining us momentarily. Usually we don't have these big air spaces. I'm going to be probably bringing on a co-host next week. Looking forward to him coming on as well. And here we go. Here is Donnie B. Angus. Donnie, my friend, how are you, dude?
We are here. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you as well, brother. So I want to make sure that I say this right. You guys are coming from Rochester, New York, and that area. Now, is that pretty close to Buffalo, that type of area of New York?
It is Rochester is an hour east of Buffalo.
Okay.
I would consider Rochester our home area. We travel to Buffalo once in a while, but it's not been very kind to us. So I would just say Central New York.
So,
you know, Finger Lakes region, Central New York.
Okay.
Yeah.
So with being on those Finger Lakes, how cold is it there for you guys right now?
You know what? I'm going to say it's actually not too bad. Not too bad.
Yeah. So, to bring up a bring up a picture of what you do. There he is. And I wanted to ask, why AC/DC? How long you been in AC/DC? Was AC/DC the number one band for you, or was it something that you guys just felt like you needed to do?
I feel like playing AC/DC was a project that was attainable. I always heard them growing up. I was always very much into any sort of guitar-driven rock and roll. So obviously AC/DC, but bands like Kiss that had two guitar players, bands like Crocus that had two guitar players, Judas Priest, Iron Maiden. There was a band out in New York City called Riot, not Quiet Riot, but just Riot. I was really heavy into them. So anything that had two guitars, which sparked my interest of, okay, well, why is there two guitars? Well, one guy's laying the rhythm track, the other guy's playing the rhythms and stuff, but then jumps out to do a solo. So that was really what was very interesting to me, that you could have two guys in the band playing guitar. One guy was rhythm, one guy was lead, or sometimes you'd switch in some of the bands. Now, AC/DC, that's not the case. Malcolm always played rhythm except for a handful of leads that he did in the studio early on. But then once they've refined their recording process and the band's brand and image, it was all Angus doing the solos. So, but yeah.
Now, with Power Trip, I believe they brought in, what was it, their nephew to play for Malcolm?
Yes. Yes, Stevie. Yep. And he's filled with them in the past, too.
Any thoughts to him as far as him covering for Malcolm's parts?
I think he did a very good job. I think that type of guitar playing and that vision of rock and roll, I think it runs through their blood. And he was just next man up. So, yeah.
And you know, the thing with AC/DC, as far as I'm concerned, is, and I don't think people pay enough attention to it. To me, I love classic rock and roll. I love old school rock and roll. I love the 50s. I love the 60s, the early 60s music of it. Guys like Chuck Berry and Tom Parker, and like, just, I love that time period. And I believe that AC/DC, especially Angus, carried that through. And I don't think he's given enough credit or recognized enough for how he carried that torch to the next generation. Any thoughts on that?
I would agree. Those definitely were all the roots. A lot of Angus's early influences, Muddy Waters, Johnny Winters heavily, actually. Chuck Berry for sure.
Oh, yeah.
But the family in general, their musicianship, even though, you know, Malcolm being a little older, Angus just kind of followed that, what Malcolm liked. And then they both became to like it together. They were both able to go, they were in close enough in age that they were able to go to concerts together. Like they talk about seeing Led Zeppelin, they talk about seeing the Rolling Stones and all these other different bands that they mention in a lot of their bios that groomed the pathway for what they wanted to do, which was that straight ahead rock and roll with those early roots for sure.
Now, do you think the music changed drastically between Bon and Brian?
I don't think the music changed. I think the writing changed, and I think the lyrics changed, because one thing that goes unnoticed is that Bon Scott's writings were actual stories of mischief, excuse me, stories of love, stories of just outright, you know, lunacy. A lot of his songs are literal stories of things that has happened in his life, in conjunction with being in all the bands he'd been through and the hard life that he lived. Once Bon was gone, I believe those lyrics literally changed the course of the band. The writing became, I think it came harder to come by, but I think they understood that we have to write differently now. It's a different person. So it's not going to be just Bon Scott 2 reincarnated. These stories aren't going to continue to move forward, you know. We're going to write differently
So let's talk a little bit about Bonfire. How long have you guys been together, and how all the pieces come into play?
I say we established in 2012, but it was mostly late 2011. It was by the time we started to play out, it was so late in 2011, I just called it 2012. So the story starts 1993, a bunch of friends of that played drums, guitar, and we found a bass player. We just started jamming. And a lot of us worked at the same TV studio, Master Control and Engineering. And the one guy knew, had a cousin on drums. So we just got together as a four piece and we just started jamming all sorts of tunes. And we're like, hey, we've got a decent band here. What do we want to play? So we were just kicking around being a cover band. And what eventually happened was, is one snowy night in late 93, we went out to this club and we saw this band playing AC/DC. And we're like, they weren't a tribute to it. They were just playing all music. They weren't a tribute band. They just were a bunch of guys from other cover bands. And they said, look, this show on this odd Wednesday or Thursday night is just going to be all AC/DC. And they played mostly the old Bon Scott stuff. And so the guitar player and I were the only one that were able to go. And we kind of looked at the stage and we kind of looked at each other and went, this is not what these guys do all the time. They can do this, but maybe that's what we can do all the time. So we floated it to the other two guys and the four of us just started working on all AC/DC. So we had a drummer, two guitar players and a bass player. And the bass player had never played bass before. He was actually a guitar player and a keyboard player. But he says, well, I do a lot of, you know, I can do bass, so I'll get a bass and an amp. And he learned it just like that because he was already very musical.
Wow.
So the four of us got together. And we said, look, this is good enough. We've got 6 to 8 songs here. The only thing we're missing is vocals. So this was in the Rochester area. So they had a magazine, a musical trade called The Free Time. And so we put just a small ad in. We pulled our money together to put in Musician Wanted. And we said, AC/DC tribute band looking to form up. We need a singer. We need Bon Scott or whatever we said at the time. So we had a couple guys come down. I really don't remember how many guys came out, but one guy came down to our rehearsal and he just said, do you mind if I just listen for like 4 songs before I sing? And we thought, well, that's kind of odd, but okay. So we played something like Live Wire, Riff Raff, Rock and Roll Singer, High Voltage, Bad Boy Boogie, a bunch of these really old songs. And he kind of just went, oh boy, you're my kind of band. You played some great stuff. So then he jumped in on vocals and he worked on his vocals and what we formed, what was called High Voltage at the time. And I was designated lead guitar player because the other guy, he says, I really can't figure out the solos. Why don't you do it? So I said, okay. And so we started playing out very early on and there was no costume per se. There was, even though I was lead guitar player, I did not dress like Angus. So I think we did 5 or 6 shows that way. And the response was good. And I thought, well, if we're going to make this work, then I need to go to a thrift store and kind of buy a shirt and a tie and put a costume together. And I didn't tell the band guys about it. I said, it was just another show in the winter. So I said, you guys start playing Live Wire. I'm going to come through the crowd. I'll sneak up on stage, start right at, you know, whatever the time was, start right at 10 o'clock. So I went to this little dressing room and I didn't tell them. And I put on this costume and I started walking through the crowd. And as soon as I got up to the stage, all their eyes just went, oh my God, you did it. You put the costume on, put the costume together. So from then on, we were called High Voltage when we played all the AC/DC classics from 1994 up till about 2010-11. And then we had a few member changes. We had a couple guys got married, had kids. They just couldn't dedicate the time to it anymore. We took a couple short hiatuses, but we were always together playing a few shows a year, if not many shows in 1 year. And so eventually the singer retired, just didn't want to do it anymore. He'd been in a bad accident that took a toll on him, and he tried to come back, and he says, I can't do this anymore. So we formed a different band. We went from High Voltage to Bonfire, and I had a singer in mind. And then all we did was Bon Scott, because this guy, his name was Michael Vincent. He lives in the Albany area. He sang Bon Scott so good. He had that perfect nasal tone. And so we did was Bon Scott. And we were successful. We were, you know, band formerly known as High Voltage. We didn't want to keep the name because the singer was so good. We've decided that, look, let's let High Voltage rest. And we'll just put that to end. And we'll just start this new project. And it was pretty much all the same characters and players with a new singer. So, but what had happened is what we found out is while we were very good, we were, because we could only play Bon Scott, we were pigeonholed. We could only open for certain people, or we could only do small club shows because there was only so much Bon Scott material. And so even though we were being requested to play more, the singer had a very difficult and busy job. He was a new father, and he was doing a lot of traveling for work, and he was fitting time in for us. And he says, listen, guys, I can't do this anymore. It's just too much for me. The band's kind of outgrown what I can do. And I said, look, you know, talk to the other guys. I said, all right, Mike, you know, we appreciate it. You know, you're always welcome to join us anywhere we play. But it's, if you're going to retire, then what we're going to do is our next singer is going to be able to sing both. We're going to do that Bon Scott into Brian Johnson transition, just like the band had to do. But, you know, we didn't want the person to die. We wanted to be able to represent 50-50. Both areas,
right.
The Bon Scott and the Brian Johnson. So we held a few auditions. We had maybe two or three guys come down, and we picked the current singer we have now, Steve Seniuk. There was one gentleman in between there that was very short lived. His name was Danny. He was in a local cover band in Rochester called Catch 22. Danny Mayer was a very good singer. He could sing all over the place. So we were just starting to get rolling with him, and he unfortunately had a tragic accident at work that took his life, very unexpected accident at work. Mm-hmm. So he was really only in the band a very short time, maybe 6 months. So we had to recall back the other guys and put the audition process out again. And we ended up with Steve Seniuk, who we currently have. And he came in with a lot of experience singing in tribute bands. He did a Judas Priest. He could sing Queensryche. He could sing just all these things from all different cover bands and eras of music that he sang. But the only tribute experience he had was really singing Rob Halford, which is a very difficult voice to sing. So he took the material, he retrained himself, and he got the Rob Halford out, like the certain holds and the kind of the Jeff Tate certain things that were in his voice. He learned to get those more to the growl. He learned to change his throat over the first couple of years, and now it's just second nature for him. And everybody asked him, man, you sing like that. Can you talk? And he talks just fine. He goes, I am actually to do this without hurting my voice. He has a way that he can, I don't want to use the word trick, but he's not hurting it when he sings. He just has a way that he can sing that Brian Johnson, Brian Johnson growl. Yeah. It's a technique that he figured. So we've been Bonfire ever since, I call it 2012, and we're coming up on 2024 here. So it's this year in the spring, it's actually going to be, I just thought about this the other day. This is, once we hit spring, this is going to be my 30th year of impersonating Angus Young and playing Angus Young leads.
Wow.
So I just thought of it the other day. I'm like, wow. I mean, if you do something even for 10 years, 20 years, you got to be pretty decent at it and still have people want to come and see you play.
Hell yeah, dude.
So
here's the band. I just want to ask you a little bit about the other guys in the band. I want to include them in on here a little bit.
Certainly.
And
Certainly.
Tell us a little bit about each player, if you could.
Yeah, so the lead singer, you saw him standing there with Steve, had the microphone and the hat on, and then to the left of him is our rhythm guitar player, Kenny Romer. Kenny's been in the band several years now, I believe since 2014. He lives just a couple miles from me. Myself, I live in Cortland, and Kenny lives in Cortland as well, so we jam a lot together. The rest of the guys are from up the surrounding Rochester area, so that includes bass player Mike DeLolio, our longtime drummer, Tom Reeder. Tom was in the early incarnations of High Voltage for a very long time, and he stepped away to do the family life. And then once his family, the kids grew up and go to college, he goes, hey, I got some time in my hands if you guys ever need a drummer again. And just a quick note to mention, there was a drummer that we had for a while named Rick Sheldon. He was at the secondary startup of Bonfire. And he passed away due to health issues. So we did lose a drummer in there as well as that lead singer. And so Tommy was able to fill that role and come back in. And we have our bagpiper, Kevin Dano. He lives up in from Mexico, New York, and he is very well known in the Syracuse community because he plays in bagpipe and drum corps competitions. So he found us at a show, and he says, if you guys ever need a bagpipe player, we can do Long Way to the Top. And we kind of looked at each other like, well, okay. And I dare say he's missed maybe one show, and it was due to maybe a bagpipe competition. But he'll show up. He knows where we're playing. He knows what time we're playing. He knows where the song is in the set. We've even given him solo time to open the show. And so he'll come out, open the show, and then we'll come jamming in. And then he'll just hang out and talk with people. And people buy him drinks. And that he wears the whole kilt and carries the bagpipes around and everything. And we don't open the show with Long Way, but we make it more of a middle crescendo point. And it just, it helps that show get up that roller coaster ramp and then back down the other side. So there's the rest of the guys. And if I can also please mention one of the early founding members, Lee Starr, he was there from the beginning, and he was through High Voltage and through the beginnings of Bonfire. And we lost him as well to some lung issues. Yeah. So we've had a couple, you know, we've had a couple hard times in the band, but we continue on, you know, in memory. Even though Danny was only there a short time, he was great. And Rick wanted to be a rock star. I mean, because I want to be a drummer in a great band. So, you know, Rick Sheldon. And we got a couple road crew guys. We got Matt Hart, who helps us transport gear and helps us set up. And we also have Matt Mad Dog Warner, who takes care of all of our merchandise. We have T-shirts and guitar picks and band photos. So we had a lot of people asking us for stuff. So we're like, I don't have time to do this. I can't do it. So me and Rick kind of started doing it, you know, and we're like, man, I don't have the time to carry this stuff around. And so, well, Mad Dog will sell the stuff and he'll buy the stuff. And so Mad Dog takes care of all of our merchandise, and he acts as a liaison to people. And we have a show poster designer, Kenny Romer's wife, Rashana Patrick, takes care of all of our poster designing. If we need certain graphics, certain things made up. So it's really kind of a small crew of us that do this. And we generally stay around the Finger Lakes region, but we do go to Vermont once a year, which is a 6-hour trip. We go to Ohio once a year, which is a 6-hour trip. And we've been to Pennsylvania as well. So we'd love to come to New Jersey sometime, you know, maybe the edge of New Jersey that kind of borders off New York State or Pennsylvania there. We'd love to come, you know, not too deep in the city at all, but maybe the outskirts of Jersey there. We'd love to come down if you can send us a place to book, you know.
Oh, yeah. Now, let's talk about you a little bit. I mean, the energy, how do you maintain that throughout a whole show? I mean, still to this day, Angus blows me away with how much energy. He's in his mid-70s now.
Yep.
What does it take for you to maintain that energy, to run around the stage like that, to command that audience?
Adrenaline, focus, having fun, making people smile, making people sing, making people dance. Putting on a show, just channeling from within. I do use 5-hour energy drink, you know, about an hour before the show to get me through. We generally play 3-hour shows. It's either two long sets with a break, or we'll play 3 hours straight. Occasionally we'll get asked to do a festival, and then we only get to do 1 hour. So by the time that 1 hour is over, we're all on 10, ready to keep going. We're like, hey, you guys got to finish, you know, it's only an hour. So, but yeah, for the most part, we do our own solo shows. We don't even have an opening act, because people have told us, look, we just want to see you guys. We just want all AC/DC for 3 hours or two sets or whatever. So we don't even, we don't prefer to have opening bands. But if the hiring client says, hey, you know, I'm hiring you, I want to put a band in front of you, that's fine. We'll do that. But if we're the ones booking and we're the ones in control, you know, it's easier on the sound guy. He's only got a mic up one stage. You know, there's not a bunch of extra gear and extra people around. It's like, look, we'll just hit it. But the energy, it just comes from just loving to play guitar and loving to play to entertain people. And I mean, I even entertain myself, you know, and it's fun watching the other guys in the band fit into their roles. And, you know, it just, You just got to know the material. You work on it yourself. You memorize it as best you can. You know, you listen to the records and you sit down and you figure out. Of course, we've been playing so long now. Unless we pick a new tune to do, you know, like I think the last new tune that we learned was probably Demon Fire off Power Up. So you had to sit down and you know, kind of, you know, kind of refigure it out. But for the most part, everything we're playing is greatest hits. And we dig out a few obscure tracks. Like every once in a while, we'll play Flick of the Switch. We'll play Inject the Venom, Sink the Pink. We pulled out, we decided to do Heat Seeker a year ago, and that song hasn't come out of the set. And just because we feel it's a challenge. That song is so fast and so upbeat that we feel it's a challenge to play, yeah. So we keep it in. You know, once we learned Who Made Who, I don't think that song has left the set list since we learned Who Made Who. We did a whole bunch of shows this year, and it just started out as one guy that hired us. It was a radio station that hired us to do, look, we want you to play the whole Back in Black album because the anniversary, we couldn't book you guys on the exact day or month that the album was the anniversary, but it's the next month, but we just want you guys to play the whole album in your set. And we're like, okay, well, we already played like 8 or 9 of the songs from that album. So we just had to make sure, we learned Let Me Put My Love. And so once, I mean, we all already knew it from playing it in the past. So once we tightened that one up, we just went right through, you know, we would play a couple songs and open the show, maybe 4 or 5 songs. And then we'd say, okay, by request, people that hired us, the radio station's having their birthday party. They want us to play the whole Back in Black album. So we're gonna open the show with a handful of songs. We'll play this whole album, these 10 songs, and we'll do the birthday cake after Rock and Roll Ain't Noise Pollution. And so we did it, and everybody was just, I mean, they were just blown away by hearing, of course, you're going to hear Hell's Bells, you hear that on the radio. You don't always hear Shoot the Thrill. You don't always hear Giving the Dog a Bone of Money, Honey. And you always hear Shook Me, Have a Drink, you know, Back in Black, of course. And then Shake a Leg, are you kidding me? That's an insane song. And then the anthem of Rock and Roll Ain't Noise Pollution, while it's not played on the radio, you start playing and everybody's just like, they start singing along. So us playing that by a client's request, I think almost every show that we played the rest of the year from like August on through November, we played the whole album and we just started promoting it and everybody was just like, that's fantastic. You guys are great playing that whole album. Now, I don't think we're going to do that next year, but we still already play eight songs from that album because it's such a great album.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, that was probably the best transition album ever created between two singers, man. I mean, now, as far as your personal preference, what is your favorite AC/DC album? Do you have one?
I really like, how do I put this? I like the Let There Be Rock album because it's just so raw. It is the recordings and the guitars are just so raw. And I like Powers because, and again, these are just such short albums. I think Let There Be Rock is what, 8 or 9 songs? Powers is 8 songs, you know, or, you know, whatever. I mean, I could be wrong. I should have that memorized, but they're just such short albums, you know, 40 minutes, 43 minutes. You know, Back in Black comes in at 10 songs. Highway to Hell comes in at 10 songs. But my favorite song to play and to play live is to get as close as possible to the live album that they released, the If You Want Blood, You Got It album, which was live after the Power tour. I like that version of Let There Be Rock in there that has that extended guitar solo ending. That's my favorite. So we play that like that one. I mean, it depends on where it is in the show and if it ends the show. If I have time or we have time, I'll throw that solo on the end and then we'll do the big finale ending. So.
And it's always got for those about the rock. Am I right? Uh-huh. That's the finale for every AC/DC show ever created. And now as far as people out there finding you, what is your next gig and how do people go about finding your websites and stuff?
Good. So right now we're actually on a winter break and we take the winters off because of the weather. Like I said, I don't feel that the temperatures get bad, but I'd hate to book a gig. And I know there's a lot of bands that play in the winter. It's just what they do. We decide to take December, January, and February off just so we're not in a situation where we got a gig and a gig and we got this big snowstorm coming. And then you're working with the owner of why people didn't show up because of the storm. And we're like, you know what? We're just going to take those 3 months off and start up in March. It doesn't mean you can't get a snowstorm in March, because it's happened, but people are still
right.
By March, people got that cabin fever. They're like, man, I got to get out of the house. I've been in the house, you know, all winter. So we start up in March. So first of all, you can find us, our website, acdcbonfire.com. And then we have two pages on Facebook. We have a main Facebook page. So you would just search for Bonfire, A Tribute to AC/DC. Make sure that letter A is in there, because if the letter A is not in there, you'll end up with some other band named Bonfire, because there's about four or five of them around the world. So Bonfire, wow. A Tribute to AC/DC. And then there, we have a Facebook group page. You just search for, you know, Bonfire AC/DC Tribute, put in like Rochester, and that'll come up. And the group page is more for people to talk amongst, you know, and post, oh, I saw this AC/DC news clip, or, oh, I saw this, I saw that. And, you know, all the I approve, if it's something to do with AC/DC, I'm the one that gets the notification and approve those posts. And then I'm the one that maintains the, you know, the Facebook main page. I create the gigs and then the gig listings. Bands in Town, you can find us on bandsintown.com if you search for Bonfire Tribute to AC/DC. I actually use Bands in Town to create the shows, and there's a widget that puts them onto our website, which is on Wix.com platform, which is the acdcbonfire.com. So that's how you can find us.
So my last question for you, Donnie, I know it's we're only, what, 3 days into 2024. What is the Bonfire New Year's resolution or plan or goal, or what do you want to see you guys accomplish this year?
We'd like to look for more theater type shows. We have a lot of club shows, and clubs are fun, but we would like to graduate, you know, through this year. We still have a bunch of clubs to play, but we'd like to graduate more to the small theater situation, festival situations, and casino situations. So just, they're earlier gigs, usually earlier timed gigs, and they're, you know, cleaner, you know, nice dinners, things of that. And it's just, they're just cleaner gigs. You know, some of the clubs we play at, while they love us and they take care of us, we'd like to get into more of the, you know, theater, casino, and festival realms. Once we get,
it also gives you a bigger stage to play. So it gives you more room.
Mm-hmm.
And it also, not putting anything down on the club circuit, but it tends to have higher production value for you guys as well to get into those theaters. There's just a lot more you can do with lights and sound in those places.
Agreed. We definitely paid our dues, and we cut our teeth in the clubs, and we love everybody that comes to the clubs. And there's, like I said, there's a couple clubs that we play, and we're honored to play there, because those clubs have done so much, you know, because I call Rochester our home. All those Rochester clubs that are scattered on the outskirts of Rochester, none of them are right in downtown. They're all on the outskirts. And they do so much for local music. And that's the reason that we continue to play there, is because we want to be part of that local music scene in those places.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, Donnie, thank you so much for taking some time to hang out tonight. My best of luck to you, brother. Please post anything on the Rock and Roll Union page, and have a great rest of your evening, Donnie.
Absolutely. And if anybody lets you know, or if you know, or if there's any place that is having tribute bands, we would love to come to New Jersey sometime. You know,
there is a spot that you would absolutely love called the Stone Pony, and the Stone Pony would be the old, I mean, this is the place where Bon Jovi, Cinderella, and all them guys came through in the 80s. It's a legendary bar. You guys would love it. I'll see what I can do as far as that's concerned. But yeah, killer spot. And it's that exact kind of location that you're looking for. It's North Jersey up by New York. So
great.
Not too far out. So good talking to you, my brother. You can have a great rest of your evening.
Thank you. Thanks for your time. It was great to talk to you. We'll talk to you soon again sometime. All right.
Oh, yeah, it sounds good. Thanks, brother. Have a good night.
All right.
So there goes Donnie, man, from Bonfire. Really excited to talk to him. And really excited to see where we're going now with VOC Nation and StreamYard and everything else as well, guys. Like I said, next week we're going to be joined by Tito Puente. Really excited to talk to him. He's a little bit out of our wheelhouse from what we usually do. Like I said, he does a lot of Latin merengue music and things along that line. His father was a very famous, well-known percussionist that came out of Mexico. He's following in his father's footsteps. Looking forward to talking to him and looking forward to talking to Bob Mitchell next week as well. So guys, until next time, don't just leave it. Leave it better. Have a great rest of your week.
Hey, this is Total Package. Lex Luger. You're listening to the VOC Nation. Don't miss out.
VOC Nation's own Stro Maestro suffered a major medical and financial catastrophe this year. From the VOC Nation family, to all of you, please continue to pray for Stro Maestro for his continued recovery. You can also donate to his cause, paypal.me/PapaStro. The worldwide leader in entertainment. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Check out In the Room
every Tuesday night at 9. Listen in.
Pro Wrestling Illustrated's Brady Hicks, former WCW star Stro Maestro, Kazzy Fist, Matt Grimm.
And you and Ray are there too, right, Ray?
We sure are, and we've got great guests like Lex Luger, AJ Styles, Taku, and more. It's a heck of a party. Plus,
I didn't get thrown off buildings.
And then
I didn't get pregnant either.
Sometimes I think it gets so ridiculous.
We were getting into, like, snuff film territory there.
In the Room.
9 p.m. Eastern on VOC Nation.
Yo, this is Jerry Stein of the Nasty Boys. Yeah, Brian Knobs here. You get ready to get nasty? Well, listen to the VOC Nation, baby.
VOC Nation is one of the longest-running wrestling podcast networks. Having started way back in 2010, VOC Nation provides daily streaming shows where fans have the ability to interact with their hosts and guests via phone calls, emails, and Twitter. VOC Nation hosts include former backstage interviewer from both AWA and WWE, Ken Resnick, former WCW performer The Maestro, former Impact performer Wes Crisco, Pro Wrestling Illustrated contributor Brady Hicks, and former Philadelphia radio personality Bruce Works. Archive-free content includes past interviews with huge names like Hulk Hogan, Jesse Ventura, Kurt Angle, Jimmy Hart, Ricky Steamboat, Sting, Mick Foley, Joey Styles, Howard Finkel, and so many more. Listen live at VOCNation.com and subscribe to all the podcasts by searching VOC Nation Radio Network on your favorite podcast app. And be sure to follow these guys on Twitter at VOC Nation.
Phil After has been in the pro wrestling business for over 50 years.
Hey, Tony here with Arn Anderson. Arn, first of all, your height and weight.
6'1", 255.
And now subscribers to VOC Nation Premium get exclusive access to Bill After's archived audio footage.
And where's your hometown?
Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Okay, and give us something about your back. First of all, your relationship to Ole Anderson.
Ole is my...
Subscription to VOC Nation Premium starts at just $3 a month and includes commercial-free audio and video versions of our top podcasts.
Okay, we're speaking here with the manager of the World Heavyweight Tag Team Champions, Tarzan Tyler and Luke Graham, and he's sort of glowing tonight about a new prospect we haven't heard of yet.
And for just $9 a month, After's archives are all yours.
Would you tell us who this new prospect
is? Well, I'll tell you, Bill, I've searched the world, and I finally found a true world champion. I finally found...
What's your opinion of Ivan Koloff winning the title from Bruno Sammartino?
Well, I think, I don't know what to say, but I want to say one thing. Bruno was a hell of a champion. You know?
Hear exclusive interviews with the greatest performers of all time.
This is Bill After, and once again, we're speaking here with Bruno Sammartino. Bruno, first of all, how did you and Bruiser lose that title to the Valiants?
Well, actually, it was a very unusual loss, if you want to call it the loss.
Did women have anything to do?
Well, yes, but the whole thing is just that the rules, as I always understood them, was that the title could only be lost by pin or submission, which is the same rules as my title, the Worldwide Wrestling Federation. That night, it was...
To sign up, it's very simple. head to premium.vocnation.com or go to patreon.com/vocnation. VOC Nation takes you behind the scenes of the greatest moments in pro wrestling history.
Each and every Thursday night, check it out. WCW star Stro Maestro takes you on a journey. It's WCW Retro, talking old school match of the week, talking dream matches, taking your calls and looking back on an incredible career of acting, entertaining, and wrestling. Check it out, VOCNation.com, WCW Retro. Be sure to call in Thursday nights, 9 Eastern, on the VOC Nation Radio Network.
This is Matt Hardy, and you are listening to the VOC Nation.